jest and greet.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. As noted by today's intro music, Johnny Mathis singing My Funny Valentine, today's program is a special program, one that's devoted to romantic music. And we have a special guest in the studio today, Oliver Williams, who, as you'll learn, has a special link to this special holiday. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. We begin today's special tribute to Valentine's Day with our traditional trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website goodhousekeeping.com. Question number one, what is a quote-unquote conversation heart? Is it A, an emotional healing group therapy session? Is it B, a romantic postcard? Is it C, a piece of candy? Or is it D, a scheduling of an organ transplant? Conversation heart, what is that anyway? And question number two, when did Valentine's Day first officially become a holiday associated with love? Was that A, about the 2nd century B.C.? B, was it during the 1300s? C, around 1840? Or D, in the early 1900s? A holiday associated with love. When was that anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February the 11th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1924, that bandleader Paul Whiteman presented his unique symphonic jazz in New York City. The concert featured the first public performance of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, 1924 today. And it was 49 years ago, 1973, that David Bowie collapsed at the end of his Valentine's Day show at New York's Radio City Music Hall, reportedly due to total exhaustion. Valentine's Day, 1973. Welcome, Oliver, to our special edition of Music Review.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So tell our listeners what makes this upcoming holiday so special for you.
Well, I married a woman whose birthday is on Valentine's.
Oh, my gosh. So you had, like, double pleasure, but also double responsibility.
It's really a national holiday for us.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, that is a rarity, you know. Turns out it's only about a quarter of 1% probability, 0.27%, of being born on Valentine's Day.
It's rarer than I thought, but that probably explains why I cannot find a Valentine birthday card. Well, I usually have to look all over Raleigh to see if I can find one. Yeah. And usually they had some that they're sold out.
Okay. So. Well, that is rare. Combination, yes. Oh, we opened today's program with one of the more popular songs and singers for this romantic holiday, My Funny Valentine by Johnny Mathis. Was that song or singer popular when you guys were first dating?
It was, and it became one of our favorite songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another one that actually has explicit mention of this holiday in the title. It's John Brickman's song called Valentine. I understand, Oliver, that you met Jim Brickman before.
Yes, I did once on a trip to Asia. We were seated in the airplane, joining seats.
Uh-huh. And what did he say? Was he just starting out or what?
Well, he learned that I had lived in Asia, and so he told me that this was his first trip performing abroad. Uh-huh. So he wanted me to tell him more about China and Hong Kong, places I had been. And so he was a very likable person, and I was very anxious to get accustomed to his music, primarily because he's a pianist, and Julia, my wife, plays the piano.
Oh, yeah.
As did her mother, who was a very well-known pianist.
I'll be darned. Okay. Well, that is interesting, and that is beautiful music. Now, what type of special celebrations have you and Julia done on this special day?
Well, we always go out to dinner. This year, we're going a day afterward, Valentine. It's sort of like a week celebration for us anyway, so we're going out to dinner with her brother and sister and their family, mm-hmm. their spouses. And we generally go to a music performance. For years, we've gone to hear the North Carolina Master Chorale mm-hmm. On their program Love Is in the Air, mm-hmm. and where they sing, a chorus of the chorale sings a lot of the Valentine music or love music.
Mm-hmm. And the NC Symphony as well, right?
We do go to the symphony if that yeah. comes into town near the her birthday, but usually doesn't. But we like classical music, and uh-huh. we really enjoy the symphony.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I understand that you both like classical music. And, in fact, here's one that I believe Julia expressed a special fondness for. It's Meditation from Massenet's Thais. What is your reaction to this piece of music, Oliver?
Well, I really have a warm feeling about it. I've heard Julia play it on the piano,
oh.
and I enjoy that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, another classical piece that is perhaps even a more direct connection to love and even Valentine's Day is Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet. So let's take a listen to that after we hear the rest of Massenet's Thais.
Juliet is, I think, one of the classical love songs that's enjoyed in all Western society.
Mm-hmm. And did you hear this from the NC Symphony by chance?
I have heard that. We have heard that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Seems especially appropriate then on Julia's birthday and Valentine's Day. An interesting 12-17-21 article in Good Housekeeping notes that Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet has inspired a Valentine's Day tradition and even the 2010 film Letters to Juliet. Every Valentine's Day, thousands of letters are sent to Verona, Italy, addressed to Juliet Capulet. These love letters are filled with emotion, passion, and in many cases, heartbreak. Volunteers call Juliet's secretaries, read through each letter, write responses, and pick a winner of the Cara Giulietta, Dear Juliet Prize. The winner gets to visit Juliet's home in Verona and attend a special ceremony. Oliver, I'd like to ask you about another Valentine's Day tradition, the giving of flowers. I understand that both you and Julia love gardening. Do you exchange flowers, roses, on this special day?
Yeah, I think like most lovers, we give red roses. Even though Julia grows her own all around the year growing season, she doesn't have any in the winter, so I always give her a bouquet of red roses for Valentine's.
Ah, that's nice. So she spends a lot of time outside in the gardens, and
that's one of her favorite pastimes.
All right. Now, that same ground, a Good Housekeeping article notes that the tradition of giving red roses actually dates back to the 17th century. Turns out that King Charles II of Sweden married and learned the language of flowers, which pairs different flowers with specific meanings, on a trip to Persia, and subsequently introduced that tradition to Europe. It became such a popular trend in the Victorian era, including on Valentine's Day, with red roses symbolizing deep love. Besides flowers, Oliver, do you guys, you know, go to the movies, romantic movies, especially on Valentine's Day?
If we could find one, but increasingly, I guess we'll stay home and look at it on Netflix.
Okay. Well, now, movie soundtracks, though, also make the lists of most popular Valentine's Day songs. Here's an example.
Is all I'm taking with me, so goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need. And I will always love you. I will always love you.
This is Whitney Houston singing I Will Always Love You from the 1992 movie The Bodyguard, starring Kevin Costner as the bodyguard to a famous singer played by Houston, who sings the first part of this Dolly Parton hit a cappella.
I've enjoyed that movie and music very much, especially I Will Always Love You.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, here's another movie soundtrack song appropriate for Valentine's.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch alone, lonely time.
This one is the song Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers from the 1990 film Ghost, in which the spirit of a murdered banker, played by Patrick Swayze, reconnects with his artist lover, played by Demi Moore, over a potter's wheel, while this song plays in the background.
I didn't see the movie yet, but I have seen like Unchained Melody. It's one of the famous Valentine songs.
So that was popular while, you know, you were dating? Or after you were married, actually?
I'm not sure what stage it was. Maybe it was in the late 60s.
They believe the early 60s for the Righteous
Brothers. Early 60s, okay.
Maybe not. Maybe it was. But it was in the 60s for sure. Of course, romantic songs and holidays are not limited to North America. I know that in your professional life as a political scientist, Oliver, you and Julia have lived in different parts of the world. What did you observe about musical traditions in your travels?
Well, I think there's a similarity to the celebration of ways in which we express our love openly. And the Asians are more quieter about that. But I found that because of, I think, technology, we have a lot of Western culture has spread pretty much in the young youth group. I would expect that it continues to do so, and maybe even be more pronounced now. The what you would see in Valentine's typical in Asia, as you would see here in the United States.
Oh, interesting. Well, as a matter of fact, Sukhyan Ya Sen wrote an article in TravelTriolong.com titled 18 Valentine's Day Traditions Around the World in 2022 that seem relevant here. In Southwest China, for example, she writes, they celebrate love on March 15th with a sisters' meal festival. Various dishes of colorful rice are offered by women on silk fabrics to young men walking the roads. His destiny is determined by what is found in the rice. Chopsticks signify love, and garlic signifies rejection. Japan does it quite differently. It's celebrated on 14th of February, and only women buy gifts and chocolates for their male companions or lovers. Men cannot return gifts until a month later on March 14th, which is called White Day. The romantic couples in South Korea celebrate the Day of Love on the 14th of each month. Yeah, you heard me right. For example, the Day of Roses is celebrated in May. The Day of Kisses is celebrated on June the 14th, and the Day of Hugs is celebrated on December the 14th. Single people in South Korea celebrate the Black Day in April on the 14th by eating black noodles. The other 15 countries mentioned in this article celebrate their own Day of Love in a variety of ways and on a variety of dates, but many on February 14th. Some have a week of sweetness rather than just a day. Some celebrate the arrival of spring. Some focus on friendship and family rather than just lovers. Some exchange marriage proposals, handcrafted wooden spoons, local wines, marzipan figurines, or pressed white flowers. Activities include parades, washing their faces with snow, placing bay leaves on pillows, and walking barefoot through frozen fields to observe birds proposing to each other on this very special day.
Well, it's obvious that the Asians do express their love in more ways than we do, at least publicly.
That's true. You know, in 2020, Time magazine named the group BTS from South Korea as Entertainer of the Year. That boy band recorded quite a few romantic tunes, but K-pop also produced girl bands. For example, the group Girls' Generation with their 2012 Goodbye, Hello. Goodbye, Hello. It's sort of a reversal of the Beatles' Hello, Goodbye, but with the same romantic theme.
Okay, that's very interesting.
You hadn't heard that one, huh?
I'm not.
So is this your favorite?
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with.
all-time favorites for Valentine is Elvis's Can't Help Falling in Love.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one because it, to me, it was the better part of Elvis's music, certainly much more than, say, Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah, or Hound Dog. Right. Yeah. So it reminds me, Oliver, do you and Julia have a song that you consider our song? Now, I ask you this because, as the 42120 Psychology Today article concludes, we know music contributes to our well-being in many ways, including reinforcing our identity, promoting social bonding. And their study shows that music is also important for romantic relationships in that it promotes intimacy and positive emotions and reminds couples of important shared memories.
Take my whole life.
I remember in the days of... I would think our song has been Johnny Mathis' My Funny Valentine.
Uh-huh.
Somehow we just have, thought that was cute.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we should think of the Beatles, because they have a song named Julia.
Yeah, named right after her. That might be appropriate, Oliver. That's a good choice. And, you know, I think I may be able to even use that as our outro music today. So, Oliver, thank you again for your participation in putting together this special music review program.
It's been my pleasure.
And be sure to tell Julia happy birthday from all of us here at NCRS.
Well, she'll listen to the program, I guess.
And you'll say, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Valentine.
All right. That's appropriate. Great. Now on to our trivia answers. You know, it's interesting to note that according to the National Retail Foundation, Americans spent over $20 billion on Valentine's Day gifts in 2019, and were expected to spend a record-breaking $27.4 billion for 2020, including $2.4 billion on candy alone. People also expected to spend an average of approximately $196 for Valentine's Day, with men spending around $291 compared to women spending $106. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what is a conversation heart? Is it A, an emotional healing group therapy session? Is it B, a romantic postcard? Is it C, a piece of candy, or D, a scheduling of an organ transplant? Correct answer C, a piece of candy. According to a 12/17/21 article by Amanda Hawkins and Hannah Gian in GoodHousekeeping.com, conversation hearts got their start as medical lozenges. The story involves a Boston pharmacist named Oliver Chase, who invented a machine in the 1800s that simplified the way medical lozenges used for sore throats and other illnesses could be made. The result was America's first candy-making machine because the pharmacist soon started shifting the focus from making lozenges to candy instead. Chase founded the New England Confectionery Company, which was shortened to NECCO, N-E-C-C-O, and now known as NECCO Wafers. But it wasn't until 1866 that we got sweet printed messages printed on the conversation hearts. It was Oliver's brother, Daniel Chase, who started printing sentimental messages on the NECCO sweethearts, though these candies were bigger than the versions we have today and featured much longer printed sayings. Some of these first messages... Married in white, you have chosen right. And how long shall I have to wait? Please be considerate. More than 8 billion conversion hearts are manufactured each year, and NECCO has to start making them just days after February 14th to have enough in time for the next Valentine's Day. That's almost 100,000 pounds per day. Each box has approximately 45 sayings, including true love, hug me, and you rock. But you can personalize your own, too. Don't worry if you still have last year's box, by the way. They have a shelf life of 5 years. And the answer to our second question, when did Valentine's Day first officially become a holiday associated with love? Was it A, about the 2nd century B.C., B, during the 1300s, C, around 1840, or D, in the early 1900s. Correct answer? Answer B, during the 1300s. As noted in the same GoodHousekeeping.com article mentioned above, Valentine's Day has its roots in an ancient pagan festival, though some historians believe that Valentine's Day commemorates the death of St. Valentine on February 14th, others believe that the holiday actually has its origins in a pagan fertility festival called Lupercalia, which was celebrated on February 15th in ancient Rome. Dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture, and Rome founders Romulus and Remus, the day was celebrated by sacrificing animals and smacking women with animal hide, a practice that was believed to encourage fertility. In the 1300s, it officially became a holiday associated with love, even though at the end of the 5th century, Roman Pope Gallius officially declared the date of February 14th, St. Valentine's Day. It wasn't until the Middle Ages that the holiday became associated with love and romance, a tradition that first started from the common belief in France and England that birds started their mating season on February 14th. Well, guess what? I was able to locate that Oliver Williams' new selection for his song. His favorite romantic songs might be the one named after his wife, Julia, by the Beatles.
What I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you, Julia. Julia, Julia, ocean child calls me, so I sing the song of love, Julia.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long until next time, and happy Valentine's Day.